Okay, here we go. Stand by. 3, 2, 1, action.
Assume nothing.
Brash, bald-faced blasphemy.
Question everything.
I find it extremely hard to imagine.
Open your eyes.
It is quite all right to be an atheist.
The fastest growing group of people in the country has been measured as being those who have no belief or who are atheists.
You don't have to be apologetic or quiet about it.
Challenge the opposition.
You see religion on 100 fronts losing the argument.
And start thinking. This is The Thinking Atheist Worldwide.
Happy New Year in advance, my friends. As we approach 2019, this is our annual tradition. We take a second, look back at arguably some of the biggest stories of the past 12 months. Now, I don't like to do an hour and whatever of hard news stories. I find myself populating the broadcast with some of the stuff that interests me, and I hope will interest you. So it's kind of a potpourri of information gathered from 2018. This broadcast brought to you, of course, by our wonderful sponsors and my patrons on Patreon. And if you'd like to become a patron in 2019, you get the show commercial free and you get it early. You can go to patreon.com/Seth Andrews. I want to say a huge thank you out to Monique Crescencia and Susie Box for helping me research and prepare today's broadcast. So let's get underway, my friends. It's 2018, the year in review. The new year began with an unscheduled bang. I would have loved to have seen this one in person. It was a massive fireworks accident in Australia, 40 miles north of Sydney, on Terrigal Beach. Just blew everything up. Just a massive explosion. Technicians diving into the water. Thousands had to be evacuated. I think that's awesome. Like, this is the way fireworks should be done. just set fire to the barge right off the bat, you know? By the way, out-of-control fireworks are still among the least deadly things in Australia, relatively speaking. 2018 kicked off with Time's Up, begun by a group of more than 100 women throughout the entertainment industry. And they came together and they put together a comprehensive plan that would combat sexual harassment across the entertainment industry and business and corporations and the culture as a whole. This plan published in the New York Times, and it addressed the harassment of both women and men. Behind it, some pretty big names like Hollywood producer Kathleen Kennedy, actor Emma Stone, Oprah Winfrey, Steven Spielberg, major Hollywood agencies. This group formed on the heels of the revelations about movie mogul Harvey Weinstein and his predatory and abusive behavior. He was indicted this year in May, indicted for rape, criminal sex acts, sex abuse, and sexual misconduct. If you are, or if you know, a survivor of sexual abuse, that website is timesupnow.com. The Women's March saw its second year in January of this year. The march itself populated by just every people gathering to be advocates for gender equality. The Women's March leadership under increasing scrutiny. A report came out in Tablet. The report that the organizers, or two of them, Carmen Perez and Tamika Mallory, had made derogatory statements about the Jews. And those statements have since been denied by Perez and Mallory. Linda Sarsour joins them in longtime support for Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. Now, he's known for anti-Semitic rhetoric. It's just a mess. On top of all that, you've got Sarsour, who is an Islamist, who's talking about how the veil is actually a symbol of women's liberation. Many people, including myself, kind of hoping for new leadership for the Women's March. It's a great idea. It's necessary and important, worthy cause. But I sure hate the idea that Sarsour might be somehow validating or legitimizing Islam, especially given fundamental Islam's attitudes towards women. I don't know. What are your thoughts on it? Terrifying news in January of 2018. Horrifying news. Scientists at the University of California, Berkeley, saying that chocolate is going extinct. chocolate. Like, the dinosaurs can go extinct, right? You know, the dodo bird can go extinct. Chocolate. No, chocolate is forever. Chocolate must be saved. The scientists have joined up with the Mars Candy Company to keep the effects of climate change from wiping out cocoa plants and essentially wiping out chocolate as we know it. In the next few decades, genetics teams are working on redesigning the DNA of cocoa plants. Now, this will be interesting to see how people who are anti-GMO, like they're totally anti-GMO, and then all of a sudden they are presented with chocolate that was rescued by being genetically tampered with. Oh, well, you fixed chocolate. Maybe GMOs aren't so bad after all. 2018 saw the increasing advancement, the rise, the popularity of, and the headlines about sex robots. I saw a documentary about robots, sex robots. There was a guy who married one. Now, he actually married one. He was just this geeky dude. He works in the tech industry. He said he had no luck with girls. And so he just fashioned his own AI bride. He keeps her at his office. He carries her back to his little pod where he lives. I don't want to know what happens back there. I don't want to know what happens back there. But back to the story. There was a January article in Newsweek, and it warned that sex robots connected to the web could be hacked and then reprogrammed so that the robots would murder us. Now, anybody who's watched horror movies knew this was inevitable, right? They say there are security risks that are posed by sex bots connected to the web or that have Bluetooth. Wait a minute. Wait, it has Bluetooth? You connect your sex robot to your phone or your tablet, so you have an app that tells it to do or... I don't understand the technology. I'm trying to figure out Bluetoothing your sex robot. And then it could be hacked and commanded to murder you. And then crime scene investigators will find you in whatever position you died in with a sex robot. It is a strange new world. We can all relate to this guy, or most of us, I'll bet. January the 3rd of 2018, it was a Ryanair flight from London to Malaga. It'd been sitting on the tarmac for a full 90 minutes. And we all know the frustration of sitting in the airport terminal. You're at the gate, you're waiting for the boarding, and then you go through the laborious boarding process. You finally get on the plane, and then the plane just sits there. It just sits there. You're thinking, I should be airborne. I could have been halfway there by now. You're sitting there. This guy, a passenger still unnamed, he decided he had waited long enough. So all of a sudden, after 90 minutes of sitting on the plane on the tarmac, got up, he walked over to the emergency exit. He grabbed the open door handle and pulled it. He opened the emergency exit door and he then went back, got his backpack, exited the plane and sat down on the wing. He just sat there. There was another passenger inside the plane, got the whole thing on video. You can find it on YouTube, I'm sure. He was, of course, arrested by the authorities, but oh my God, that must have felt good. Like, haven't we all fantasized about it? I'm just going to pull that lever and get off this damn plane. Life is too short. January saw the practicing of an annual tradition in London, and I'm not making this up. I had to fact check it. Like, I had to find another source just to make sure that this wasn't, like, you know, The Onion. But it's real. It's called the No Pants Subway Ride. You ride the subway with no pants. 400 people participated in frosty weather this year. And of course, there are photos of that as well. If you're a Game of Thrones fan, you might want to stay at the Lapland Hotel Snow Village. It's a hotel on a village, like a 20,000 square meter village. The hotel is forged out of snow and ice. And for about $200 a night, you get the privilege of sleeping in sub-freezing temps. They give you a sleeping bag and some hot juice. Now, maybe I'm getting old, but the Hampton Inn sounds a hell of a lot better than that. You know what I'm saying? Give me a warm bed, continental breakfast. You know, I mean, it would be something you'd talk about for the rest of your life. 2018 saw the tragic popularity of the Tide Pod Challenge. Oh, you remember this one. Where teenagers were biting into laundry detergent packets. Why? Because these particular teenagers are as dumb as a sack of hammers. That's why. They posted videos of themselves biting into laundry detergent packets or pods. They posted them online. It became so popular that a Procter & Gamble spokesperson had to come forward and issue a public statement. The statement being, laundry packs are made to clean your clothes, and thank you very much. I mean, at some point when you read these headlines, do you just shake your head and think, there may be a thinning of the herd that is necessary? Like, this may be a purification of the gene pool. Maybe this is good. Maybe we don't need the warning label. What are you thinking? I just do not get it. Surgeons in France made history this year. It was the world's first double face transplant. Now, I know what you're thinking. I was conjuring the same image in my head, but it's not what you think. Because I'm thinking double face, like Two-Face, but this is not it. The recipient, still not named, participating anonymously, was actually the very first face transplant, which happened in France 12 years ago, but the body kept rejecting that particular face. So they decided to try again. They transplanted yet another face onto his body. So far, so good. This is a high-risk procedure. More than 40 operations of this kind have been attempted over the past dozen years. At least 6 people have died because of infections and other complications. We almost died by asteroid in 2018. Well, not really. The asteroid buzzed planet Earth at a distance of 2.6 million miles, but, you know, relatively speaking, that's like a close shave. The asteroid 2002 AJ192, and isn't that a sexy name? It buzzed us at a brisk 67,000 miles per hour. By the way, this is not the asteroid that looks like a joint. That's the one I'm obsessed with. Have you seen the photograph? It's called, I can't even pronounce the name. It's Oumuamua. Oumuamua. It's an asteroid that's headed out of our solar system, and it looks like a joint. And I'm just mesmerized every time I see a photograph. I just want Xenu, the intergalactic overlord, to pop into frame and just grab it and just toke up right there. Scientists said this last February they've detected traces of the earliest light in the universe. This light was thought to have come from the very first stars just after the Big Bang. They call it a fingerprint from just after the Big Bang. It's an even closer step to observing what science refers to as the cosmic dawn. Now, this kind of messes with my head because I'm not an astrophysicist, but they detected light. So the light is still there and it's still traveling, but it happened 14 billion years ago. And the universe is expanding and then it's going to retract. It's awesome. It's amazing. But it's also, it melts my brain. Okay. It was the March for Our Lives, March the 24th, 2018, a student-led demonstration in Washington, D.C. in support of stronger gun violence prevention measures. This was right on the heels of the Stoneman Douglas High School shooting in Parkland, Florida on Valentine's Day, and promoted by survivors of that shooting who want universal background checks on all gun sales. They want 21 to be the minimum age for gun ownership. They want to close the gun show loopholes and to ban assault weapons and more. 1.5 million people estimated at the March for Our Lives on the 24th of March of this year in D.C. The BBC said that this year in the U.S. was the worst year on record for school shootings, in a climate that many people are simply refusing to accept as a new normal. Marshall County, Kentucky, January 23rd, 2 dead, 18 injured. The Parkland shooting on February 14th killed 17. Santa Fe, Texas, May the 18th, 10 dead, 13 injured. Beyond the schools, more mass shootings in Thousand Oaks, California, Pittsburgh, New Jersey, many others. Americans are more likely to die from gun violence than many leading causes of death combined, with some 11,000 people in the United States killed in firearms assaults every single year. Here's some interesting news if you ever worry about the flu. Scientists at Columbia revealed they've been working on an ultraviolet lamp. It's not harmful to our skin. It's not harmful to our eyes. But apparently, in testing, this lamp emits UV light that kills the flu virus. It's something they want to try to test for public places, you know, like schools and hospitals and airports and anti-vaxxer conventions. Apparently, they would be able to kill influenza with UV just by putting these overhead lamps in places where you wouldn't even notice them. Sounds kind of cool, but we shall see. How about this science story? It's reported by NPR. Nokia and Vodafone joining forces to set up a 4G cell phone network on the moon. On the moon! So you could stream 4K video from the surface of the moon. And they're putting together missions that would make that happen. Now, I don't know what practical application this has, but I would totally bookmark that page. Like, I would love to see 4K video from the surface of the moon. I just would. Farmers in Japan having trouble with wild boars eating their crops. And they got tired of using standard scarecrows, which were proving not all that effective. Well, because it's Japan, they have implemented in 2018 robot scare wolves. I kid you not. Robotic super monster wolves that have red eyes, a werewolf-like face. I mean, it's right out of American Werewolf in London, really. And the ability to move, patrolling all the crops against wild boars. You can buy one for $5,000. You can lease one for the season if you don't have the money. There are photographs. You should check them out. They would make Rick Baker, you know, the special effects guy from American Werewolf, they would make him proud. They really are pretty effective. It was in April of this year, President Trump sent the U.S. National Guard down to our southern border. Military personnel were sent by the Department of Homeland Security in October. Reuters says it estimates about 6,000 total troops. Now, we've seen the escalation of rhetoric about this migrant caravan. 7,000 people, which some are calling people who are refugees, who are seeking livable conditions and simply want asylum. And Trump is calling a threat to the United States, lawbreakers, a group including, quote, criminals and Middle Easterners. Why he would include Middle Easterners next to criminals, that's odd. These people actually fleeing some pretty horrible conditions in Honduras, Guatemala, El Salvador. The caravan includes people of all ages and genders. The Washington Post said that the genesis of the caravan happened really with social media. People started posting online, hey, we're getting out of here. We're leaving. We're going. And other people saw the information, packed their bags, and joined up. Now, the immigration problem remains a legitimate one. Hardliners are saying that, look, you have to use physical, even deadly force to secure the border, to stem illegal immigration or an overwhelming of the border by this migrant caravan. Human rights activists are saying, hey, these are people who are trying to escape suffering. It's unconscionable to meet their suffering with tear gas and automatic weapons. This story will, of course, spill well into 2019, and it remains a big mess. Amazon's Alexa. And I know I just triggered your devices. I know I did it, but that's just how I roll. It made headlines in 2018 with a glitch that would have scared me to death had it happened in my home. Did you hear about this one? Just imagine this, okay? You're sitting at home, you've got one, you've got an Amazon Echo in your house, and you're sitting at home, you're minding your own business, when from somewhere inside your otherwise tranquil home, you hear this sound. Amazon said that the reason that there was laughing was that the Amazon Echoes were somehow hearing the command to laugh and then would do as instructed. They've made some changes. Now, if you say laugh, she starts by saying the sentence, sure, I can laugh, and then she actually makes the laughing sound. But that's still creepy, no matter how you slice it. You're sitting at home, you're sitting in the kitchen, and all of a sudden back from, say, the master bedroom, you hear. That'd flat wig me out. Now, I must say this, if you do not own an Amazon Echo, and you're home alone, and you hear, it may be time to break your lease. I'm just saying. 2018 was the year where Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg gave testimony before Congress, the Senate Judiciary and Commerce Committees. He was questioned about this massive data breach back in 2015, a data breach that Facebook did not report to the Federal Trade Commission, a mistake they say that they regret. Facebook has also been in dialogue with Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. It says it's working to try to shore up security against fake accounts. For me, the hearings with Zuckerberg provided two things. One, it's helped reignite the conversation about Facebook. What is it? Is it a publisher or is it a technology platform? How much does it owe us, the users? How much of our information does it get to own or use or know about? I mean, that's one part of it. The second part was the awesome internet memes of Mark Zuckerberg sitting at the table. My favorite being the one where they painted him up like Data from Star Trek The Next Generation. That is one of my favorite things that came out of 2018. You should just check it out. Mark Zuckerberg Data Next Gen or something like that. It'll pop right up. It's amazing. It's amazing. April 2018 saw the handshake between North and South Korea with a vow to end, after all these decades, to end the Korean conflict. Kim Jong-un crossing the border into South Korea for a press conference and joint statement. And we even saw a unification of the Olympic teams, the North and South Korean Olympic teams, at the opening ceremonies. I try to be optimistic about North and South Korea, but, you know, when you've got a pathological liar, you know, Kim Jong-un makes a promise, it's kind of hard to take that to the bank. We'll be watching this very closely, see what happens. It was in May of 2018 that a judge in California ruled that if you are a coffee shop in California, Starbucks and all other coffee shops have to put cancer warnings on coffee because it contains the chemical acrylamide. Now, as I understand it, and correct me if I'm wrong, but acrylamide is really only dangerous to humans in extremely large quantities, you know, like an industrial accident or something, or, you know, inhaling direct cigarette smoke. There's actually a lot of research that says coffee consumption is associated with lower risks for cancer, but the chemical acrylamide was apparently reason enough for this judge to say that all coffee served by coffee shops in California now have to say this may cause cancer. Imagine that. Speaking of cancer rulings, Monsanto was ordered in August to pay $289 million to a guy who says he got leukemia from using Roundup, with the chemical in question within Roundup, glycophosphate. But the science on this just doesn't seem to be there. There was a guy named Paul Feyerow. He's professor of cancer epidemiology at Cambridge. And he says that there's very weak evidence that glycophosphates are associated with any increased risk for lymphoma. But the jury decided that Roundup caused his cancer and awarded the man $289 million. Monsanto is appealing that decision. We saw teacher walkouts this year in North Carolina, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Arizona, and elsewhere. Teachers just had enough. They said they want better wages. They want more funding for schools. West Virginia won a 5% raise for all state workers, not just teachers. Oklahoma, my home state, won an average raise of $6,000 per teacher. It was in June of this year that the Miss America organization announced that it's no longer going to have the swimsuit competition because it says it doesn't want their contestants judged on physical appearance. Now, Miss World eliminated the swimsuit portion 4 years ago. Miss Teen USA did it back in 2016. They say that now the focus will be more on leadership and academic achievement. So I went online and I said, hey, everybody, what do you think about Miss America nixing the swimsuit competition? And most of the responses fell into, I think, two categories. One was, wait, there's still a Miss America pageant? And two, why is there still a Miss America pageant? They've actually got a Twitter hashtag for this. I think it's was promoted by the Miss America organization. It's hashtag bye bye bikini. Anyway, I'll let you argue about the merits of Miss America. In China this year, the Xinhua News Agency has apparently determined that you and I don't want to hear our news or see our newscasts hosted by actual human beings. And so, it has unveiled a 24/7 AI newscast with a completely AI newscaster, guy sitting there in a suit. He looks pretty real when he's sitting still. Like, you would have to look pretty hard to see that it's a digital construct. And this newscaster is fed text and data and apparently can learn. It's like a smart AI newscaster that can learn things, and it will deliver the news 24/7. The Xinhua News Agency says that this AI delivers the news as professionally and naturally as a human news anchor. Well, I played the demo. Let me play you the audio, and I'll let you decide.
Hello, everyone. I'm an English artificial intelligence anchor. This is my very first day in Xinhua News Agency. My voice and appearance are modeled on Zhang Zhao, a real anchor with Xinhua. The development of the media industry calls for continuous innovation and deep integration with the international advanced technologies.
God, I couldn't listen to that for more than 15 seconds. We got some work to do. I'm just saying. 2018, the year of the Supreme Court. Justice Anthony Kennedy, a pivotal swing vote. He announced his retirement this past June, and this, of course, set in motion the circus of the Brett Kavanaugh nomination and hearings and appointment, including Kavanaugh's own turn in the sexual harassment barrel, and, if I may, a rather alarming performance in the public eye. These hearings were frustratingly partisan. They were maddeningly male. And they resulted in a very narrow 50-48 vote confirmation. Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg made the news last month. She had a nasty fall. She broke two ribs. And the x-rays on those ribs reveal that she had two nodules on her lungs. Now, Ginsburg is 85 years old. She says she plans to be back on the job when the next session starts in January. I know that her supporters are rooting for her to have an extremely, like an extremely long life, because if she dies, it likely means a 6-3 conservative majority in the United States Supreme Court. Short break. When I come back, we're going to get into some human rights victories in India. We're going to talk about the dead pimp who won an election in Nevada. We're going to talk about space probes on Mars. I've got a quick look at sports, entertainment, the famous names we lost in 2018, and we'll cap the broadcast with some of the weirdest stories of 2018. All that and more coming up next. Hang on. Happy New Year, 2019 on the horizon, and this is 2018, the year in review. Thank you so much for listening. In July of 2018, Seattle became the first major U.S. city to ban drinking straws. According to the organizers of the campaign Strawless Ocean, Most plastic straws are just too small to make it through those big industrial recyclers, or they just get dropped or they get blown out of trash cans because they're so light. Compostable paper and plastic straws are still legal in Seattle. Apparently, an estimated 7%, over 7% of plastic in the environment comes from straws and stir sticks. It was in July that the House Republicans adopted an amendment to a funding bill for the Departments of Labor, Health and Human Services, and Education. This granted a license to discriminate when it comes to child welfare services. Essentially, this is what we're talking about. Agencies that get federal funding can turn away prospective parents for things like adoption, right? They can turn them away based on that agency's religious beliefs. It is a license to discriminate. And of course, it's a human rights nightmare, a huge and harmful misstep, as agencies could just decide to deny people of differing religions or no religions or LGBT applicants or whoever looks out of step with a specific religious coda. July saw the sentencing of former Michigan State and USA Gymnastics team doctor Larry Nassar to prison for the rest of his life, and then some, for criminal acts of sexual assault of at least 250 girls and one young man under his care. There were actually many others who came forward with stories of terrible abuse, over 330 people. Michigan State paid out $500 million in restitution to the victims. And now we continue to applaud and support those who have bravely come forward. And while we're at it, let's apply this same moral and legal standard to the Catholic Church, shall we? Every year when I do the year in review, we have stories about the abuses within and by the Catholic Church. 2018, no exception, the conviction of Cardinal Pell by an Australian court. Been waiting on this one a long time. He has another trial scheduled for 2019. We can't talk much about his conviction because the court has put a gag order in place in Australia and asked the media to stand back to avoid the potential of a mistrial for the second case being heard in the spring. Then there's Pennsylvania. Bishops and other church leaders blasted in a report by a grand jury in August of this year for covering up child sexual abuse by more than 300 priests over a time span of 70 years. This is just Pennsylvania. The report was the stuff of nightmares. A priest raping a girl, hospitalized to have her tonsils out. There was another child tied, gagged, and whipped, secretly funded abortions using symbols and coded language so the priest could mark child targets for future molestation. Hey, they look the most vulnerable. Go after them. It's beyond words. It's beyond imagination. The church responded with its bishops calling for prayers for the victims and prayers for the church. Also, it promised more transparency in the future. Pardon us if we don't take your word for it. A human rights victory in India. The top court in India in September of this year made a landmark ruling declaring that gay sex is no longer a crime. Now, granted, they're late to this party, but at least they got there. They had a previous law that criminalized homosexuality. That old law had been in place for 150 years. Now, it was rarely enforced, but it did exist, and it was a symbol. It was a symbol of fear and repression, and it was knocked down in 2018. At the announcement of the court reversal, crowds across India erupted in celebration. October of 2018, it was called The Store That Changed America. In October of this year, it filed for bankruptcy. Sears. It was founded 132 years ago. It used to be a staple of American retail. Sears simply couldn't afford its debt payments. It was just too in over its head. It could not compete with online retail giant Amazon. Now, it's still around, but it filed for Chapter 11. It's looking for a buyer for the approximately 500 stores that'll still be open on the 1st of January. Honestly, Sears has been struggling for decades. They've been losing customers to Walmart and Home Depot and others who had more outlets. They were easier to get to, and often their prices were better. 2018 was the year of the U.S. midterm election. Wow. It was crazy. After 2 years of Republicans controlling both the House and the Senate, the Democrats won the House of Representatives with a 27-seat gain, Nancy Pelosi becoming Speaker of the House. And some interesting local races as well. I see local state races. Beto O'Rourke lost his Senate run against Ted Cruz in Texas, but it was a close one, and he got some serious exposure as a possible 2020 presidential contender. That's going to be interesting. The Democrats picked up 7 governor seats. They lost Florida in another close shave. Republican Cindy Hyde-Smith won Mississippi, even after making jokes in public about lynchings in a state with a recent history of America's highest number of public hangings, right? Talk about being culturally toned. Well, maybe in Mississippi, I don't know. But I would say overall, just culturally tone deaf, making jokes about lynchings. 581 lynchings took place in Mississippi between 1882 and 1968. There was an opinion piece in The Guardian. It was titled, "Is This the Most Racist U.S. Midterms Campaign Ever?" And of course, it was talking about things like the Trump commercial, the campaign ad, which was like this sort of NRA style ad that fueled panic about migrants and those evil Democrats. Now, a quick footnote. I think one of the most entertaining parts of the midterms was watching the story of Dennis Hoff. Now, Dennis Hoff was kind of a TV star. He owned several Nevada brothels, and he was the star of an HBO TV series about one of those brothels. It was called Cat House, okay? And so this guy was running for the Nevada State Assembly, but he died right before the election. Now, he died so close to the actual casting of the ballot that they couldn't take his name off of the ballot, and so there he was. And people still voted for him. So Dennis Hoff, dead pimp, won the Nevada State Assembly. And I think that's just awesome. Given the state of American politics these days, it might be actually better if they just propped him up. just sit him there. Just put, you know, just break out some clear coat spray and maybe some air fresheners and just let him serve. Just let him serve. Anyway, there was a special election afterward to elect an actual living human being, but it's still a funny story. This was the year of the California wildfires. Man, did you see the video of those things? The most destructive and deadly wildfire season on record in the state of California. Over 8,500 individual fires burning almost 2 million acres, more than $3.5 billion in damages. Trump decided to weigh in about the wildfires on camera by saying that we need to rake the forests because the president of Finland told him that that's how they meet the problem of wildfires. The entire planet was quick to inform Donald Trump that Finland has an altogether different climate and it's loaded with rivers, lakes, and wetlands. The rake the forest posts on social media were hysterical. Somebody dragged like a Kirby vacuum out into, you know, raking the forests. They showed Smokey the Bear holding a rake. I saw embroidered hats that said, "Make America Rake Again." People took photographs of Trump on the golf course and they photoshopped out the 7-iron and they photoshopped in a rake. There was a movie poster made, a kind of an homage to the old Robert Zemeckis film titled Forest Trump. That kind of stuff just makes my day. How about some good news? Some science news. It was in November of this year, November 26, 2018, that InSight, the NASA spacecraft, landed on the surface of Mars. It landed at 11:52 a.m. Pacific. InSight on a 2-year mission to study the interior of Mars. Now, I'm not really sure what that means, but the interior of Mars? NASA released some quote-unquote sounds that were captured by these arms on the spacecraft. The sounds of Mars wind. If you haven't pulled this up online and checked it out, just Mars Wind or InSight Mars Wind. And they've got technology which kind of measures this breeze and then translates it into an auditory experience for you and me. It is a reminder of what an amazing time it is to be alive. This year, SpaceX nailed the maiden flight of its Falcon Heavy booster. That's a big rocket. It's designed to carry astronauts to the moon and to Mars, and it can carry a huge payload. Now, upping the cool factor for the Heavy booster was this revelation that SpaceX had launched into space, launched a Tesla Roadster that had a mannequin driver dressed in a spacesuit. I didn't think it was real when I first saw it, but it's real and it's amazing. The Starman and his Tesla have already cruised beyond Mars orbit last month, and it's on an elliptical path around the sun. One last break. When I come back, a very quick sports wrap-up. We're going to talk about the famous figures that we lost in 2018. And we'll wrap up with a look at some of the planet's weirdest news stories of 2018. And we'll do it right after this. You are listening to 2018, the year in review. I don't spend a lot of time on sports news. Perhaps I'm biased against it, like because I don't really follow sports, but I got to figure that if you do follow sports, you probably know all of this stuff anyway, right? But a quick wrap up, the Warriors beating the Cavs for the NBA championship in 2018, the Washington Capitals winning the Stanley Cup this year after a drought of 42 years. The U.S. won an Olympic gold in curling. That was awesome. Vince McMahon making the announcement that he's going to try again with the XFL in 2020. Anybody remember the XFL football league that they started? They tried it, I guess, 20-some years ago. It was awful. And it died. It was terrible. He's going to try it again. The 2018 Super Bowl, the Philadelphia Eagles defeating the New England Patriots. I don't follow football. I thought it was a great game. Pretty spectacular drama. Interestingly, it was in May of this year that the National Football League announced that it would have a new policy that players can stand for the national anthem or they can just stay in the locker room, but they are no longer allowed to kneel on the sidelines as a form of protest. If they do, the entire team will be fined. And of course, we're talking about the Colin Kaepernick thing. By the way, those who were so mad about this quote-unquote betrayal of America by people who were disrespecting the flag and the military, and they were traitors by kneeling on the sidelines. And then Colin Kaepernick became a Nike spokesperson. They went out and burned their shoes in protest. They burned their Nike shoes. Well, Nike showed a double-digit profit in the year 2018. Now, I get it. A lot of this is marketing and money. I totally understand. But it's also, we have to admit, it's also a massive public statement, and I think one that Nike deserves credit for. Sure, they're playing us just a little bit, but they also, I think, are on the right side of history. The biggest movies of 2018, superhero movies. Black Panther, the number one film globally, the biggest grosser of 2018, followed by Avengers: Infinity War. After that, it was The Incredibles 2, Jurassic World: Fallen Kingdom, and Deadpool 2, rounding out the top five. Best Picture at the Oscars went to The Shape of Water, directed by Guillermo del Toro. Red Dead Redemption 2, topping a great many list for the best video game of 2018. At the Grammy Awards this year, Bruno Mars, the big winner for Song of the Year, for That's What I Like, also Record of the Year, Album of the Year, Best Rap Song, and others. The famous names we lost in 2018. Stephen Hawking passing away in March of this year. A memorial service held in April at Westminster Abbey. Stephen Hawking's ashes buried alongside Charles Darwin and Isaac Newton. Actor John Mahoney died on the 4th of February. He was 77, probably best known for his role in Frasier. Vern Troyer, Mini-Me, from the Austin Powers movies. He died on the 21st of April. He was 49, possible alcohol poisoning. We lost Herschel. You know, Herschel from The Walking Dead. Actor Scott Wilson. He died October the 7th. He was 76. He had leukemia. Both Barbara and George W. Bush passed away this year. The former First Lady succumbing to congestive heart failure on the 17th of April. She was 92. And of course, George Bush, the 41st President of the United States, he died November 30th. He was 94. Margot Kidder, Lois Lane from the Christopher Reeve Superman movies. She died May the 13th, 69, suicide. In June, we saw the death by suicide of fashion designer Kate Spade and celebrity chef Anthony Bourdain. Those deaths igniting more public conversation about depression in both private and public figures. The Queen of Soul died this year. Aretha Franklin was 76. She passed away in August, pancreatic cancer. And Senator John McCain, the war hero and United States Senator, he succumbed to a brain tumor on the 25th of August. He was 81 years old. The Oscar-winning writer of All the President's Men and The Princess Bride, William Goldman, died this year, 87. Pulitzer Prize-winning playwright Neil Simon died as well. He was 91. Sci-fi and horror legend writer Harland Ellison died on June 27th at the age of 84. Burt Reynolds died. The original Bandit of Smokey and the Bandit. Heart attack on September 6th. He was 82. Harry Anderson, the judge in Night Court. April of this year, he was 64. Comic book writer and legend Stan Lee left us in 2018. He died November the 12th. Beloved around the world. And the guy didn't seem to slow down. Not once did he seem to slow his pace until he finally died of cardiac arrest at the age of 95. The Reverend Billy Graham died this year in February. He was 99. This next guy gave joy to so many people through his work. You might not know his name. Stephen Hillenburg. But I'll bet you know the character that he created. He created SpongeBob SquarePants. Hillenburg was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease in 2017, and he died just over a year later. We just lost actor-director Penny Marshall, Laverne of Laverne and Shirley, director of Big, A League of Their Own, and Awakenings, among others. She died just 2 weeks ago on the 17th of December. She was 75 years old. And actor Sandra Locke, she's probably best known from the Clint Eastwood movies, The Outlaw Josie Wales, and Sudden Impact. She died of bone and breast cancer on the 3rd of November. She was 73 years old. And finally, a quick look at just a random smattering of some of the weirdest stories of 2018. You know, you and I often encounter religious people who swear that they are filled with the Word. Oh, I'm filled with His Word. I've got the Word inside me. And you and I are like, yeah, okay, great, yeah. Well, this month, there was a teenager in France. His name was Adrian Lucatelli. And he actually said he transcribed portions of the Bible and the Quran and claimed to have bonded the text somehow to a virus and then injected it into his own DNA. Now, I'm not great at the science of all this, okay? But just the idea that he sort of mainlined scripture via a needle into his body, that's enough of a headline for me. Okay, that's enough. Gizmodo released a story in February of this year about a musician and a YouTube guy named Sam Battle. Well, Sam has redefined, my friends, the sound of horror. He constructed an organ that made its music through the electronic squeals of 44 Furby dolls. You want to hear some audio? Fine. You asked for it. Oh, that's just terrifying. And there's video. You can see him. He's mounted all 44 Furby dolls on top of the organ and their mouths open. And it's terrifying. There was a pastor in Pennsylvania. and he swore to the cops that nothing was amiss. Nothing's wrong here. Ah, there's nothing suspicious. When they found a guy sitting next to him in his car, Pastor George Gregory in the driver's seat, in the passenger seat was an unnamed second man who was naked and bound with nylon rope. There was a witness said that at one point the naked guy got out of the car in full view of his daughter's window. Pastor Gregory told the cops, "We were just playing in a consensual setting." He said the man has a drug problem and I am counseling him. What, some kind of role-playing exercise to get a guy off drugs includes sitting him in your passenger seat naked, bound in nylon rope? Well, of course. I mean, of course. 2018 saw the oldest known case of dandruff. The Guardian reporting this past May that paleontologists found tiny little flakes of fossilized skin on a Microraptor, which was a meat-eating dinosaur about the size of a crow. This dinosaur had wings on all four of its limbs, and they found these tiny flakes of dandruff fossilized. Dino dandruff, estimated to be 125 million years old. Pulaski County, Arkansas, Interstate 40, the 24th of June, 2018, two 18-wheeler trucks plowed into each other. And one of those trucks left its cargo crashed and splashed tragically across the highway. Closing down the highway, the wreckage was so bad, the cargo was cinnamon-flavored Fireball whiskey. Jet Airways Flight 9W697. It took off from Mumbai on the 19th of September. And shortly after takeoff, the passengers started to feel some discomfort. Then all of a sudden, some of the passengers had nosebleeds, and then their ears started to bleed, and they experienced headaches. Oxygen masks suddenly dropped from overhead. Turns out that the cockpit crew had simply forgotten to, you know, pressurize the cabin. Like, this seems like an obvious one, right? Wouldn't that be like a really big red button right there in the cockpit? Like, how would you miss that one? Make sure you pressurize the plane before you take off. The man with the world's longest fingernails finally decided he had had enough, and he cut him off after 66 years. At the age of 82, he decided to cut the fingernails. They didn't use clippers. They couldn't. The fingernails were much too thick, much too robust. They had to use a circular saw. The longest nail was his thumbnail. It came in at 197.8 centimeters. That's about 6.5 feet long. Somebody explain to me how you can function in society with 6-inch fingernails, let alone 6-foot fingernails. I do not understand. Kendra Jackson of Omaha, Nebraska, had a chronic runny nose. Don't you hate that? Everywhere she went, she had to have Kleenex in her hands or stuffed in her purse. It went on for 3 years. Runny nose, headaches. She had trouble sleeping at night because of the drainage. It all started after a car crash in 2013. She slammed her head against the dashboard, and doctors kept saying, "Oh, it's allergies. Oh, it's just allergies." But Kendra just wasn't buying it. So finally, she saw a specialist. In May of this year, Kendra went to a specialist who did some scans and said, "Oh, hey, look, it's not snot. That liquid is brain fluid. A cerebrospinal fluid leak. Brain fluid leaking through a hole in her skull and into her nose. She was sniffling brain juice nonstop for 3 years, about a half a pint every single day. Now, here's the good news. Doctors plugged the hole." They patched her up, and now Kendra Jackson is sniffle-free and finally getting a good night's sleep. This year saw the launch of Mad Mike Hughes, a flat earther who wanted to prove the Earth was flat by using a homemade rocket and launching himself into the sky. He finally did it. He hit an altitude of 1,800 feet, crashed to the Earth, and somehow did not die. The whole thing took about 60 seconds. Surprisingly, he did not prove that the Earth was flat. He says now he's working on yet another venture, a vehicle that will shoot him up to an altitude of 360,000 feet. This guy's got to be bogus, right? I mean, buy a ticket on Southwest Airlines. The 39,000 feet, you can go over, you can do your research on Southwest Airlines. And finally, do you remember when your mom told you not to hold your nose and your mouth closed when you sneeze? Don't try to hold your sneezes in. Remember that advice from mom? Well, it turns out that mom was right. The guy in Britain, they never gave his name in the story, showed up at the hospital with a swollen neck. His voice had changed, and inside the neck area under the skin, doctors heard bubbling sounds. Apparently, he had stifled a sneeze earlier in the day, and in doing so, he actually blew out his own throat. He ruptured his throat, took a week in the hospital, and 2 months of unobstructed sneezing, I guess, to get him fully healed up. So, my friends, this is good advice for the new year. When that sneeze comes, when you feel that itch in your nose and you know the sneeze is going to happen, it's inevitable. Cover your nose and mouth for the rest of us, but don't seal up your nose and mouth or you might explode your own throat. And that's just a freebie. That's just for you, my friends. I hope you have a safe and wonderful and extremely happy new year. I am so thankful for you and I'm excited about 2019. All my best to you and yours, and I will see you back here in the new year on the Thinking Atheist radio podcast.
Follow the Thinking Atheist on Facebook and Twitter. Watch dozens of original videos on the Thinking Atheist YouTube channel. And visit our website for resources, links, contact information, the editor's blog, and more. TheThinkingAtheist.com.